Once you start to look for it, rivalry is everywhere in art, in every culture, in every artistic discipline to one degree or another. The two leading opera stars in London in the 1720s were Francesca Cuzzoni and Faustina Bordoni. They were known to be rivals, and in 1727 their rivalry escalated to an onstage fight. They scratched and kicked and pulled each other's hair, by all reports. They are satirized to great effect in The Beggar's Opera, produced the following year, 1728, in London. The main characters, Polly Peachum and Lucy Locket, having been based on the contentious pair, Cuzzoni and Bordoni. In more recent times, Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra were said to have been at odds in the filming of the movie High Society. The screenwriter John Patrick had to prepare multiple versions of the screenplay, making it look to each star as if he had the bigger part. The Impressionist painters were a rivalrous bunch, Renoir and Monet, for example, having painted side by side for a time, spurring each other on to more feathery brushstrokes, greater explorations of light. Jazz musicians in the 40s, Woody Herman and the like, had wildly rivalrous battles between bands and soloists. According to a new book, it is Italy in the 16th century that really has something to tell us about the whole subject of rivalry in art. In fact, the title of the book is Renaissance Rivals, Michelangelo, Leonardo, Raphael, Titian. The author is Rona Goffin.
I think the first thing to understand is that the Renaissance is a period that named itself, and the word means literally in French, though they of course used Italian, rebirth, rinascita. What was being reborn was classical antiquity, first in literature, then later on in the visual arts. And once you take the idea of emulation or imitation of a model as your starting point, I think it inevitable that you begin to think also in competitive terms. That is to say, if you're imitating a model, at the same time you're trying to surpass it. So I think the notions of imitation and rivalry are absolutely inextricable.
Of course, there were competitions in those days, the four artists battling it out for a commission, but that's not quite the same.
Rivalry, I was thinking of in more personal terms, as when Raphael and Michelangelo rival each other, painting literally within stone's throw of each other, for example, in the Vatican Palace, Michelangelo working on the Sistine ceiling, Raphael really next door, painting in the Stanza della Signatura, both for the same patron, who, by the way, was known to walk back and forth between them. He had to go through those rooms to get from his bedroom to public chambers. Of course, there's personal rivalry.
To rival someone means to tangle with one's equal. One or more striving for a goal only one can attain. In this case, the goal of being the best.
You don't fence with someone who doesn't know which end of the épée to hold. These men knew what they were.
And they were using each other, you might say, to push the medium forward.
And the most stunning example is really Raphael, because Raphael started looking very much like his master Perugino, very sweet Madonna faces with small pursed lips. As soon as Raphael moved to Florence in 1504, when Leonardo was back in town and when Michelangelo was also in Florence, having just finished the David, as soon as Raphael moved there and saw what they had been doing, he immediately co-opted their ideas and went through a stunning transformation. This is not to say that he was a mere copycat, but he knew how to take from others and make it his own.
Michelangelo, when he sensed Raphael was starting to dominate, did what he did in any crisis or confrontation. He left town. And so it went.
Artists have always copied from each other since the dawn of time, or since the dawn of paint.
But this was the Renaissance.
In this rebirth, you don't want clones, you want better thans. Otherwise, you're just parroting the source. You must emulate and compete in order to do better than the source. And that's what they did.
If the Renaissance was a whole period jump-started by rivalry, there are whole cultures built around rivalry, as expressed in art. Dr. Kathy Curnow is an associate professor of African art history at Cleveland State University. She runs a seminar called Rivalry, Competition, Art, and Power. The focus is on southern Nigeria and especially Benin Kingdom, where rival chiefs compete for public attention.
There's a real pecking order. There are about 200-plus chiefs in Benin. So where you are within that hierarchy really matters.
In her class, Curnow points out the ways rivalry is encouraged in the culture. The king, for example, gives privileges to some chiefs and not to others, leaving the chiefs to try to figure out why and to try to find ways to increase their popularity.
To be a chief in Benin is to be an actor on the social stage, and everything you do in public is gauged and calculated. And that idea of popularity is really important, and art reinforces it. And they use everything at their disposal. Costume, architecture, the kind of house you build, the kind of furniture you have.
This is a society in which rivalry itself is considered an art form.
It is also a spectator sport because people watch these maneuvers with great interest and talk about them in detail. It's strategized about. People try to plan in terms of what they see other chiefs doing. One-upmanship never ends. No one's ever in a stable position as far as their popularity is concerned. It's always shifting.
Curnow tells a famous story about the rivalrous culture.
There was a wedding back in the 80s in Lagos between two very extremely wealthy families. Each family hired a very popular band. What they did, they closed off the street for the wedding. They had one band posted at one end, the other at the opposite end. They played at the same time. The guests loved it, and it's still being talked about 20 years later. As they say in Benin, it's your enemy that makes you.
A new, or in fact very old, way to measure one's place in the world.
Because only a person that's insignificant won't have enemies.
For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.